to Radio Wasteland, the best in anything, anywhere. This is my co-host, Kara. How are you doing today, Kara?
Hi, and who are you?
What?
Who are you?
I'm Chauncey Howard. I'm not doing well today. So
yesterday,
I have this problem. I have a problem. I don't say no to my wife.
Yeah.
And she asked me to take her to the casino yesterday, and it was a Tuesday. And I have another problem, and that is that, like, well, for one, I'm fat, so I'm trying to lose weight, and I'm only drinking White Claws, so I drink, like, 5 White Claws. But still, it sends my brain into this sort of, like, stress. I become emotionally fragile after drinking. Maybe it's only after drinking White Claws. That'd be funny.
I mean, I think that's normal, but go on.
Last night was the first night that I became the White Claw guy, that when I came up to the bar, they said, oh, you want a White Claw? And I'm all like, yeah, I do. That is what I want. I wouldn't say I want it, but, you know, that's what I got. So I'm emotionally fragile today, Kara. Take it easy on me.
I see. So you're saying you're hungover.
I don't think hungover is really the word, because I don't feel physically hungover or anything. It's just the next day I feel like sort of stressed and sort of downtrodden.
You're just wounded in your heart.
Yeah. Tell me, pretty. All right. Let's cut to the news. Let's cut to the misery that other people have to suffer through. That'll make me feel
your
better.
Beard is a little luscious Sean and powdery.
Right.
So Trump buried his wife in a golf course.
Yeah, okay, there's not much else to that story, but there's plenty to be said there. I'm curious what people, sorry if there is, I didn't catch you off.
That was the end of the sentence.
Yeah, okay. I wonder how his followers, like, do they think that, like, that's a... Because when I first heard it, I heard everybody making fun of it, like, on the left, right? And I thought to myself, well, you know, I mean, that might be a thing. You know, maybe there's a big park there, and maybe there's other sort of family members there and stuff like that. But, man, when I saw the picture of it, it looked like they just chopped a swatch out of the green and shoved in a coffin.
Yeah. To be honest, I'm not super riled about this one. The article is interesting. It talks about sort of why there, and it goes into, well, maybe it's tax evasion, but that doesn't make as much sense because he already basically doesn't pay taxes on this property just because of, like, other reasons. And, you know, maybe it's, like, a really beautiful spot, but it's like, okay, it isn't really. And maybe it's just, I incline to their third explanation, which is that these are kind of weird people, and, you know,
yeah.
Like, it's like putting ketchup on steak, you know? It's like, it's not what I do, but honestly, I mean, I can't really judge. He's just, he's a guy burying his ex-wife. It's weird to me that it was, like, up to him.
That is weird.
Maybe it wasn't, which, like, I'm not totally clear on the details, but it seems like Ivana Trump was not married to Donald Trump, and she was rich in her own right, and surely she had a will that specified the stuff, but, you know, maybe she didn't. Maybe there was an oversight, and he ended up being like, hey, you gotta decide, because it's not in here. But that seems very strange to me. So what I suspect is that she did, in fact, have a will, and she wanted to be buried there, and the news is kind of just making something out of nothing.
Right. Yeah, that's very similar view that I had. I thought it was kind of a Duck Dynasty move more than anything. It was just kind of like, okay, these are weird. Somewhere between Nouveau Riche and the Habsburgs, you know, basically a little too incestuous for their own good, not physically, but, and then, so I thought that was weird, but then ultimately, I thought, well, it was probably up to the kids, and the way their dynasty works is that Trump makes all those decisions, or they come to Trump and say, what are our options, and so on and so forth. And so, yeah, I agree with you that while it's weird, I can handle. I like weird. Yeah. You know, if there was more weird out there, I'd be more okay with that. You know, so, like, let's put somebody else in here that I like. Who do I actually like? Do I like anybody? Let's say Tom Hanks buried his wife at his personal golf course. I would find that somewhat oddly endearing.
Yeah. See, there was rollback to the Trump presidency. There was that 4 years where it seems like every show, every piece of news was always making fun of Trump for the dumbest stuff. They were always, you know, getting at Trump in, like, you know, making oblique references to, oh, this fictional dictator in our show who's totally not Trump has super small hands. Right. You know, always stuff like that. And every time it was so cringy and just so bad because it's like, liberals have not learned. We did exactly the same thing with George Bush. We criticized him for nuclear, or however he said it, you know, right. saying it wrong, and his sort of cowboy hat persona. It's like, my dudes, my guys, he's a war criminal. He murdered 200,000 Iraqis.
you can criticize him
for that. You can criticize him for the actual thing. You don't, and I don't know. There's just a version. It's media people, you know? They love this, like, schoolyard gossip. They think it's, like, I don't know what they think. They think, ooh, the rubes will be really interested in that. Yeah, I think that's what it is, ultimately, is that there's no political agenda. They're not actually trying to bring this guy down.
Right.
They're just doing what sells, which is, frankly, even worse to me. Like, have some principles.
Yeah, no,
you
know, I agree.
If you want to criticize him, criticize him.
Right. You know, it's like, I hear it all the time on CNN talking about Fox and Fox talking about CNN. They're just all, oh, well, they're not really reporting the news. Neither of you guys are. I mean, it's like literally 20 hours of editorial, you know, and it's not news. It's editorial. You know, when you see Tucker Carlson on the screen, okay, for anybody listening, if you see Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Rachel Maddow, you see Jake Tapper, you see any of these people on the screen where they're the star of the show, it's not news. It's an editorial. They're talking about the news, then they're bringing in people to talk about their opinions, and they're talking about their opinions. Mm-hmm. It's not news. So none of it's fake. It's just not news.
Yeah.
What do you call fake news that's not actually news?
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's a space for editorials, right?
Like, oh, absolutely.
There's a space to, you know, bring in experts, talk about, you know, analyze, sort of work through it. But it's also, it's also just very craven, and I don't know. I have a very low opinion of TV news in general. So, like... But that's what people watch the most. It's because it's 24. The other thing is 24-hour news. It's like enough things don't happen in a day that I need to know about to justify 24-hour news. But that's what people want, and that's what works. And that's ultimately, if you do want to spread an opinion, if you do want to spread a topic, then 24-hour news is the way to do it, because that form of media is a fire hose and everything else is a squirt gun.
Right. Yeah. Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
You sent me an interview on CNN with a dude who turned in his father, who was a rioter on January 6th at the Capitol, who got a lot of years in prison, basically. And
9 years, the most amount of years so far.
Yeah. And basically this kid talking about, well, not kid, he's like adult son.
I don't know. I have kids. I barely consider you an adult, so I don't know. I guess it's all relative.
That's valid. in any case, he turned in his dad, and he was sort of talking about that, and sort of talking about the thoughts that come up, which seemed to be basically his dad makes his own decisions, and it sucks that he's in prison now, but that's what happens, you know.
Yeah, so I feel like there's a lot of nuances here to sort of think about, and that's why I found this so incredibly interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a kid turning in his dad, you know, there's one. Okay, so this dad took a gun into the Capitol building.
Right.
So this is why he's been charged with so much. He's not charged with so much. He took a gun in and made threatening remarks towards Nancy Pelosi. Which, regardless out there how you feel about Nancy Pelosi, she is an elected official in the United States government. I don't think making serious threats towards one of these people is okay. I don't pretend to know if it's illegal or not. I know nothing about the law, but I do know taking a gun into the Capitol building is bad, unless you're a congressman, apparently. But, yeah, I don't know. So would you turn in your dad, is the question.
I mean, if they were at the Capitol riots, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Honestly, if my dad, like, went to the Charlottesville riots, which are not illegal, just like, you know, the Charlottesville rally with the tiki torches and the Jews will not replace us and the whole.
Right.
Like, if my dad was at that, I would tell his employers and everyone he knows, hey, because people like that don't deserve to be out and about. Regardless of who they are.
Even your dad. So water is not...
Well, I can say that comfortably because that's the opposite of the way my dad is in the real life.
Gotcha.
But,
right.
Like, yeah. I'm sure my feelings would be more complicated if I thought it would come up. But, look, ethically speaking, because that's all I can speak to. I can't talk about how I'd behave in a situation, you know, I've never been in. But, like, ethically speaking, I think the right thing to do is to, if there's... You know, someone who has these horrible beliefs in a position of power, you gotta get them out of power. You gotta remove them. And I have, in fact, a friend of mine from high school, I lost contact with for many, many years. He pops back up on Facebook. You know, he friends me. I notice he's posting Holocaust denial. So I,
weird fun to revisit.
Yeah, in the intervening years, he had apparently become a full neo-Nazi, so I did just shoot a message to his boss being like, hey, just so you know, this guy's a neo-Nazi.
Did you really?
I have no idea if anything came of it. No one responded, but I don't think guys like that should have jobs.
What a raise. So,
yeah, maybe he did, honestly. He works at some trucking company, so who knows?
That is wild. You know, as far as sending my dad to prison or turning him in, this is a nest of weird feelings here. Because the one reason why I find Trump sort of endearing on any level is he kind of reminds me of my dad.
Ooh, okay. There's a lot to unpack there.
Right. So there's like a lot to unpack, you know.
I think he reminds a lot of voters of their dad.
Yeah,
they just haven't done the emotional work. They haven't unpacked things the way you have. They're like,
right,
oh,
right.
God, Dad knows best.
You know, because, like...
I've got to vote for him or he'll get the switch.
So I'm not sure, but I'd like to think... So no, I don't know. That's a hard one to answer. That's a hard one to answer. Because as you're saying, I think a lot of that would stem from the relationship that I had with my dad.
Sure.
Like if I had like this great relationship with my dad, which I'm pretty sure I had a better relationship than I would have with Trump, but if I had this great relationship with my dad and he went and did that, I would basically probably more aptly use it as a sort of conversation sort of way to like get in there and be all like, you know, I can't be having this in my life and I'm going to have to leave out of your life if you don't put it into this and stuff like that. But I mean, if my dad was the sort of personality that was just always like, book up, shut up, stoic, like the sort of personality that I kind of imagine this person to have been, yeah, I'd turn him in.
Yeah. And I mean, who knows? It might have been that he wasn't particularly stoic. It might have been that he was a mess of a person.
That's true.
You know,
that is true.
All the time. But like, you can make certain inferences, though, about, you know, the levels of toxic masculinity that may or may not have been present in the type of guy who goes and riots at the Capitol.
Right.
You know, so, I don't know. I think it is very important to catch these guys and punish them, essentially, because that appears to be the only sort of thing that really dissuades this, that kind of behavior, is the threat of actual consequences. And, you know, it's so funny because it's like, Black people know that if they go to the Capitol and riot with assault rifles, they'll go to prison or get killed there.
Mm-hmm.
Black people know that. You know, the queer people know that. You know, I think if there was a trans uprising at the Capitol, it probably wouldn't go super well.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just like,
sounds like a right-wing horror movie, though, trans-uprising at the Capitol.
God, I wish. But it's like white suburbanites, I think, need to maybe be reminded that the law applies to them sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, on occasion, every 400,000 years when the stars align, they can be held accountable for their actions. You know, that's what's happening here.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think breaking into the Capitol is an absolute no-no, and I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're on my side, their side. Now, part of the problem here is that we either have self-fulfilling prophecy or we're in a really weird situation here. So here everybody's been all conspiracy for years, right? Mm-hmm. And then now we're sitting on a massive one. We're sitting on, if you're on the left, a attempted coup of the United States government, easily the most militarily powered country in the world.
I mean, what we're talking about is a fascist takeover of the U.S.
So. Right. And on the other side, you're looking at a deep state overthrowing of,
exactly,
of democracy.
The children are turning in their parents. No one is safe. It's the secret police. Right. You know?
Right. So it's like, everybody, it seems, believes one or the other.
I think this is what happens when you're in a population that would end up in a civil war if the people were younger. You know? Yeah. So we're kind of in a cold civil war, and I think we have been for a while.
Yeah, like, yeah. But do you think it's coming to a head?
It's hard to say. I think if it's coming to a head, I think we're a few decades out still.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one can imagine scenarios in which some form of civil war occurs. It would all have to do basically with secession. I think it's not hard to imagine something that I think would get like Texas and maybe a couple other states to secede. I don't know, let's say some loon killed all of Trump's Supreme Court justices.
Mm.
Like, that's extremely unlikely. But, you know, let's say that happened and then, like, Biden filled all those seats with Democrats, right? I think if that happened, half of the red states would probably just leave the union. And then once that happens, you've got the same issue you ran into in the American Civil War, which is what do you do with military bases? Because the American Civil War, there were several months when the North and the South were peaceful after the secession. The only trouble was the North was like, we don't recognize you as a country, and also we are keeping our personnel and we're keeping everything at our military bases the same. So right. Until this, you know, gets back to normal. And the South was like, actually, we don't want this hostile country having, like, military bases dotted all over our countryside with their personnel and their everything. And so they tried to take over a fort, and that's what sparked the Civil War. And I think that's exactly what would happen if secession happened in the United States and it wasn't very intelligently done.
Local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Axiom Repertory Theater wants to thank the Rancheria for their generous grant to help support the arts and our theater in the community. Thank you so much for being a wonderful partner.
Hey, then from all of us at Riddick Sports Club, we want to thank Reading Rancheria for all that you guys do for the community and for helping us out. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
While temperatures are heating up outside, cool down as you stroll through Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson. If you're searching for a unique gift for a wedding, anniversary, or special occasion, Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage, they have exactly what you're looking for. They have tumblers, goblets, plates, teacups, and saucers, silverware, jewelry, and jewelry boxes, necklaces, earrings, elegant pins, rings, cufflinks, and more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Get ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us. Right, and should this guy get anything is also the question, because part of this, you know, we think like, oh, if I tell you to go shoot some people and you go do it, we both are responsible. But that's because I ain't your boss. You know, so imagine that you carry a gun legally.
Sure.
You're in a store. And a fight breaks out with guns involved, and a cop is defending people, and he asks you if you have a gun and asks you to help him.
Right.
If that ends up being the wrong call, and maybe that cop is the bad guy, but you helped him, are you at fault?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how juries would sort of take that, but I think in that situation, I would hope that a lot of blame would kind of end up on the police officer, but also, yeah, ordinary people need to be responsible with their weapons and stuff. But also, I don't know that that's really.
But a sense of urgency had been built up so much to the point where, you know, maybe people didn't feel that they were in the position to say, hold on a second, let's take a look. Like, so if I'm in a grocery store and there's a shootout happening and this cop is just all, I need your help. I'm just like, well, you know, what's your backstory, Mr. Officer? You know, it's like there's a sense of urgency that's put on you by this person who is the urgency guy. You know, so that's one area where I'm having a hard time. I'm just all like, do any of these people, are any of them really responsible? I don't know. That's a rough one. I don't pretend to answer it, but I don't.
See, where I would deviate, though, is that I think that's a valid analogy for this situation. If you add a second cop who's saying, no, don't get involved, you know, right. Red cop, blue cop, right? You know, one cop saying, get your gun, you know, we need to kill this bank robber. And the other guy is like, it's literally just a black dude.
Right. Plus, I haven't been researching this cop in this grocery store for 4 years up until now.
Right. So, yeah, I don't think there's a lot of, like, real good analogs in our daily life that are easy to understand that allow us to grapple in an intelligent way with the scale of just like propaganda and money and the power of media and the power of demagogue politicians. I think this guy should get time. Like ultimately, you know, you can't blame everything on the propaganda, but I think the, you know, OAN and Newsmax and all these people who were saying that this had to happen and Trump should also definitely get some time because it wouldn't have happened without them. But that's sort of not the way our legal system and system of morality is set up. You know, our system is based on the idea that it's sort of impossible to override another person's will, and it's sort of impossible to do so. And it's like, it really isn't. You just need lots of time and lots of money.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Be interesting to find out how many families were affected by this, you know, and it'll be interesting to see what history has to say about this, given that there is history to have. So. I don't know. What do you got next?
We're talking about Stephen King. Basically, who went before the government as part of an antitrust thing and testified on behalf of the government, saying that the Big Five publishers should be broken up. The Big Five being Penguin, Random House, Simon & Schuster, HarperCollins, Hatchet Book Group, and Macmillan, which are, you know, those five basically control most of publishing, most of book publishing. So it was another antitrust thing. It was interesting to see. There was also, it's interesting to talk about this, and it's like, on one hand, it's horrifying that the entire field is controlled by, like, five companies. But on the other hand, if you know anything about any industry, then I'm kind of like, wow, there are five companies?
Right, yeah.
You know? Like,
especially a dying one.
Because, like, most food is, like, two or three companies. You know, you look at Amazon, it's essentially a monopoly. Like,
oh, well, it is, but that's because antitrust doesn't apply to them.
Right. So it's like, do the antitrust stuff. I'm always in favor of breaking up the power of these big corporations. But it's like, my guys, Simon & Schuster is not the problem, you know? They're not the biggest offenders.
No, I agree. And plus, it's a dying industry, so I was surprised that it was five. I was expecting it to be two or three for it to hit this point. But I totally agree with him, and it really raised the question for me as to where do we draw the line? So, a monopoly, I mean, we understand what a monopoly is, but where do we draw a line on the size and power of these businesses? You know, these multi-corporate conglomerates and stuff like that. I guess what I'm trying to say is that slowly over time, things become comfortable. They do one step further. Things become comfortable. One step further and things become comfortable. Imagine if you went back to the founding fathers and explained to them Amazon or General Electric or any of these things. Wouldn't they? I would assume they would be horrified at the power that those companies have. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think antitrust in general is a joke because it doesn't apply to online businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Antitrust is purely a brick and mortar situation, from my understanding of it, and that's why Amazon has crushed many businesses, including brick and mortar businesses, because they were able to do business tactics that you wouldn't be allowed to do if you had a brick and mortar location.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know. I don't think it's the hottest of takes necessarily to say that, you know, corporations have so much wealth and power that it is essentially trivial for them to defeat any legislative challenge for that power.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worth repeating sometimes, you know, everyone knows that, but it's worth repeating sometimes that if, you know, if someone wanted to say, okay, well, maybe antitrust should apply to Amazon, that person would then be facing an enormous uphill battle.
Right.
Like, I seriously doubt that's really ever going to happen.
Yeah. Coincidentally, that incumbent got voted out.
Exactly. You know, unless there's just enormous grassroots pressure and just an enormous amount of funding from, like, ordinary people to do this, or, you know, maybe in the context of, like, massive worker strikes or something. But, like, there's no business-as-usual scenario where antitrust could be made to apply to Amazon. They have too much power over our political process to make that happen. You know, the reason we're seeing this happen with these book people is because they aren't Amazon. They aren't as powerful.
Yeah, and that's funny because they used to be. That used to be their competitor. Right. But now Amazon doesn't care about books because books doesn't make any money. But originally, Amazon, for those out there, I'm sure you know, Kara, but for those out there, Amazon started as a book-selling store. That's what it was, you know?
Yeah.
I used to list and sell books on Amazon for Bog Bean Books and Music and Reading. That was a job of mine for years. And, I think that a dying industry is bound to eventually, there'll only be one left. So that's the interesting thing about monopolies. Let's say I sell purple Snarf Flats. Nobody cares. Nobody buys them. I sell five a month, but I'm the only game in town. Am I a monopoly?
Yeah. Well, I think the publishing industry is never going to die. It's just going to get really small, but I don't think that necessarily means there's only going to be one seller. There might, you know, there might be competition for a pretty small pie, but there, you know, there could still be competition. It's just the overall share is decreasing. And also, books are still pretty big business. Like, that'll take a while.
Yeah.
Like, physical books, certainly, you know, ebooks are really disrupting it, but, like, people still read.
Yeah.
Lots of books get published every year, and lots of books get bought every year. So.
Yeah, even my aunt, who's in her 70s, she reads on her Kindle. I don't think she reads many physical copies any longer.
Everything I read pretty much is on my my Kindle app on my laptop, but I read a lot. You know, I buy a lot of books that people have written, so I am funding the publishing industry. I'm just not buying. Also, I don't like the texture of paper. It's a weird thing. I've never liked it. It freaks me out. So
I love it. Everybody else.
Yeah,
does.
I know.
You don't care.
Yeah, and also I majored in literature, so I, you know, for 4 years I was around all these book nerds who's like, oh, I love the smell of a book. And I was like, I like the smell, but I don't want to touch it. It's scratchy on my skin.
On my fragile skin.
On my fragile skin. Yeah, that's right. Let's talk about missiles.
All right.
So, yeah, the latest Al-Qaeda leader who was killed, Ayman al-Zawahiri? Ugh. God, I should know how to say that. But anyway, he's dead now, so who cares? Right. But was basically killed with one of these ultra precision missiles, which with nicknames like the Flying Ginsu or the Ninja Bomb. It's the R9X Hellfire missile, and basically the idea of it is it's supposed to be something where, like, you can kill someone in a specific room, right? Or you can kill someone in a specific car or something without hurting the people around them. So it's supposed to be a more surgical method for this kind of thing.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filotto, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft.
Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
Whereas it would have been like, well, Batman wasn't stopping this stuff. The Riddler did.
The best villains think they're heroes.
Yeah, and I don't know. There's a clumsy thing Hollywood does a lot where they take that idea and it's like the best villains think they're heroes, and so they have like for 3/4 of the thing, the villains essentially just be the heroes, but, you know, maybe they kill people. But, and then at the very end, they have to be like, oh, but we have to make sure the audience doesn't root for them. You know, right. We have to give the hero. That's something that happened in Black Panther. Happened in a lot of Marvel movies, frankly. Also in, it really annoyed me, actually, in the Falcon and the Winter Soldier TV show. They did that. And it's like, it sounds to me like the Flag Smashers were right. You know, they were right up until the last episode when What's-Her-Bucket just, like, killed
Harley Morgenthau?
Yeah, thank you.
I just happened to know that, sorry.
Right, you know, she jumps off the deep end and kills a bunch of people just so that she can't be right, you know? And it's like...
Right.
If she was
they should have them maybe escalate a little.
I think if you think, you know, that kind of radicalism is bad, which is a reasonable position to take, then you can just say that. You know, you can just say it's bad for her to kill people, even if she's right. But you don't have to do the thing where it's like, it's bad for her to kill people. And also at the very end, you know, she tossed a baby in a wood chipper. Like, so she's wrong now because we had her do that.
Right.
Even though it was out of character. And it's especially egregious in superhero things because, like, the whole idea of superheroes is they solve problems through violence. You know, if you're running up to someone and punching them with their super fist, you know, if you're the hero, they get knocked out, and if you're the villain, they turn into a bloody pulp, right?
Right.
But in real life, if you use violence against a human being, you're risking that, you know, something will happen.
Well, that's a big complaint with Star Trek over the years, is that initially Star Trek was mostly about solving problems without violence.
Right.
Doctor Who as well. Both of those shows were really about solving problems without violence, and then in the end, you know, there's more shootouts, and especially in Star Trek. Doctor Who is still kind of held on a little bit better, too, to the non-shootout resolution, but Star Trek has very much gone into the wars and the backstories and stuff. But the original series and the Next Generation, there were very few shootout outcomes to plot lines.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's especially annoying when it's like the whole genre is, this is the we resolve things with shootouts show, but the villain is bad because people died in the shootouts. Right. It's like, have you seen Daredevil? Like every episode, Daredevil is pinning someone against a wall and punching them 60 times in the head. You know, that person is dead.
Right.
That person
is
dead now. You killed them with your fist. You punched them until their head was like an overripe Halloween pumpkin.
Example.
And the Punisher actually just does kill people. He's, I think, supposed to be morally ambiguous, but like...
But he's also not, here. He's got two seasons.
It's not really that ambiguous in the show. He only kills bad people. You know, it would be ambiguous if he got it wrong sometimes, like a real person would, but he doesn't. So.
Or stray bullets or anything like
or,
that.
Or, yeah, you know.
All right. What's our final story to...
Our final story is billionaires are funding a massive treasure hunt in Greenland as ice sheets melt. This isn't actually as egregious as I thought it was upon reading the headline. Because what they're funding is a group of billionaires, including Bezos, Bloomberg, and Bill Gates, are trying to fund a search for basically nickel, cobalt, and other metals that are needed to create electric cars, that are needed to create just a lot of sort of green energy things. And it's like, well, yeah, you should do that. If, you know, the ice sheets are melting, so if you can do something to help them melt less fast, then that's absolutely something we should be doing. I have seen a version of the story, of this exact story, many years before, which was something more along the lines of Russian billionaires are searching for oil underneath melting ice sheets. Those kind of stories make me want to walk into the sea. But this is a benign version of that, I guess.
Well, I thought the interesting twist here was that the melting ice caps possibly could be providing us with some of the help that we need to solve this problem.
Yeah.
Now, you know, of course, it's not really ultimately going to solve this problem, but I've had this thought. I would like to put this out there for the listening audience about green energy cars. People say, okay, so electric cars still get their power from coal a lot of the time because that's where the energy is coming from and it's going in the car. And people say, well, what's the point? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, the point is that it puts all of the situation into one area that can be worked on instead of every single person across the planet doing it. It's really that simple. You know, I'm constantly hearing that argument and everybody's, well, why don't you do that? Well, that's why. Because it's a lot easier to fix one problem than 7 billion.
Yeah. No, I mean, absolutely. That's not a good... There's no way to make the argument that, like, electric cars are not more green than gas-burning cars. They are. They just are. And for one thing, you know, they're not burning gas. You're using energy that would be used for other things anyway. But also, like, yeah, it's exactly what you said. You can modernize the power plants, which we need to do anyway. So we also need to do it with the cars. So,
And if it's consolidated down to the power plants, you take the most egregious, the worst offender, and you modernize that one, and you work your way down. And, you know, I don't know. It's all pretty simple. But yes, I do think that it's interesting that melting ice caps might provide us some help in this situation. God has a plan, Kara. You know, what are you going
to
do?
See, I think that's the take people will be tempted to take from this, like, oh, legitimately. Well, because people will be like, oh my gosh, you know, the solution, the problem has the seeds of the solution in it. And it's like, not really, because you know what they could also be looking for? They could be looking for coal, but they aren't, because they recognize that climate change is a real problem and that coal is not the future. And the reason coal isn't the future anymore is because, you know, we have green energy subsidies now and coal can't like, what I'm saying is if there had never been any climate activism, if there had never been a climate movement, billionaires wouldn't be doing this. You know, maybe they would be looking for these minerals, but they wouldn't be looking for these minerals to do green stuff with. They would be looking, you know, they would be looking for oil, and that's the way it was 10 years ago. So this is a heartening story, but it speaks to me of the effectiveness of the green movement and the effectiveness of climate legislation that's happened in the past, and just the extent to which people's opinions have changed to where they're taking this seriously. Whereas when I was a child, only Al Gore was taking it seriously. You know, most public figures weren't.
Well, I like to think that they're digging up some ancient god that they've been worshiping for years.
Oh, God, I hope so.
But unfortunately, I think what they're going to end up doing is digging up some sort of new flesh-eating virus, because that's where this sort of thing comes from.
Maybe that's the ancient god.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, tie it into sort of the vaccine conspiracy theories, like COVID was actually an eldritch entity, satanic, unleashed from underneath the ice sheets by Bill Gates so he could get us all the vaccine, which is going to turn us into communists.
This is not unlike season 2 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so, you know, maybe
honestly,
that's
honestly, that's true, yeah.
All right.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Join the Cascade Theater on August 21st for one of the finest in-demand rock and roll ensembles working today, Lucas Nelson and Promise of the Real. Lucas Nelson and POTR have wowed audiences and won fans with their fiery stage performances and singular sounds, which smoothly straddles rock and roll, country, soul, folk, and R&B. This will be a night you won't forget. Purchase tickets at CascadeTheater.org or 243-8877 for a night of a lifetime with Lucas Nelson and POTR on August 21st at the Cascade Theater.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.